Sanyo ex vis commander Q.
36 X if commander Q.
Wednesday, August 9th, 2000. It's about 6 p.m. I'm walking along Charles Street, Malden, Mass. Come from another long, tiring day at work. It's fucking hot out. Funny, this. I said that I wanted a soda. Ended up at the liquor store near the T station. Had this brief moment when I thought I was going to get a six-pack. It even escalated into I was going to get a good six-pack. And then I walked in, and at the end of the first aisle was the soda case. And I didn't put much of a fight to do anything other than get a bottle of soda out of the soda case and go spend my $1.04 on it. Drinking was such a habit for me. From 86, when I started drinking with Mark Bergeron and Rosie O'Grady's, when did it stop? I'm not really sure exactly when I stopped. I don't abstain, I just don't seek and I don't thirst. But I'd say 86 to 99. Be about right. That's 14 years. I was a drinker and now I'm not. I've kind of replaced LSD with beer, except they're two different kinds of substances. You don't exactly replace one with the other. That often. If I could stop eating junk food, boy, I'd be fucking perfect. I don't smoke cigarettes. I probably smoke pot. I've always smoked pot the way I now drink beer, which is socially when it's around. He did. I just had an imaginary conversation with Jim. Claims he's going to trip with me on Saturday when we go to see Neil Young. I've got to keep in mind, and I'm really looking forward to that. Well, me and that girl Jenny fucked one more time. Monday night, and then she realized even stronger than I did that it wasn't the right thing to be doing, that it was a betrayal of her boyfriend, and then it was a betrayal of me too.
or so.
So, that hasn't happened since. So I think I'm about on day 19.
Slow down!
Fucking prick car. Going fucking 60 miles an hour down the fucking road. Alright, so all 10 new titles I'm intending to bring to Running Man, in addition to titles that are already made, at least the masters of them are already made. All 10 of them are along the way. The Burning Man books, I'm going for 7 titles this year. Last year was 5. It was more than that in the end, but in the end it was 5 because some of the concepts weren't workable. A lot of the concepts weren't workable. They weren't solid and they fell apart. 5 remained and 5 good ones. Well, the 7 this year include anthologies of writing by Whitman, Thoreau, Emerson, Ginsberg, Hawthorne, a second volume of writings on psychedelics, and a second volume of the Burning Man coloring book. In addition to these 7, there's the North of Jersey book, of Joe's. There's the Scripture Press Sampler 2, and there's Cenacle 42, June 2000. So, they're all coming along. I've been coming home early every night this week and working on them. I'm going to work on them tonight. I'm going to work on them tomorrow night. I'm going to work on them Friday night. Saturday, I'm going to take a break, at least something of a break, because Jerry, Jim, and Mark are coming up. If all goes well, we're going to go to Walden Pond during the day, and then see Neil Young that evening at Great Woods. So, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull off all of them, but I'm working on pulling off all of them. And if that happens, if it all happens, I'll be bringing 22 titles to the No Borders bookstore, Burning Man 2000. Last year, I had, 8 titles. I'm not sure if I had any cenacles. Grip there. Buy Burning Man books. Scripture Press Sampler 1. And the Orpheus book and the Fairy Tales book. So there were, I think, 8. And those 8 will be included. And I'll be racking up ...14 more in addition. And the Burning Man book list will have risen to 12 titles. That's a hell of a fucking series. Pretty fucking good, I'd say. Oh, spirits. It's hot, but I'm at it. I've been on a roll for a while now. My health afflictions have dissipated some. Just ready to work. Ready to work. So tonight I'm going to work on the coloring book and the sampler, the Scripture Press sampler. And tomorrow night I'm going to work on Cenacle 42. I've heard from Barbara that the North of Jersey book and her work on Cenacle 42 should be in my hands by the end of this week. Which will be fine, because this week I devoted to content, essentially. And next week I'm devoting to proofreading and layout. And then that's going to rapidly segue into word production. Again. The bottle I said hit the ground. I'm sure it's all fizzy now. So those are the 3 stages. I mean, I guess there are 4 stages. First stage was title selection or content selection, topic selection, content accumulation, proofreading, layout, production. Title selection's done. Content's almost done. Proofreading will take a little time, but it won't be that hard. Page layout is essentially finalizing the pages and getting them ready for being printed up. Alright, so that's enough for now. Hi. The bitch just went swimming. Is that a good pool over there?
Yeah.
Cool.
Right?
Cold and it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
When you clean a lot, it's hot. When you don't, it's cold.
Wow, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hi. Have a good night. Hi.
On a friendly account with neighbors. Okay, that's it. Bye. Friday, August 11th, 2000. I think it's about 9:15 p.m. I'm walking away from the Malden Center T station, about to cross the intersection of Commercial and Center Streets, Malden, Mass. I thought tonight was going to go a lot later than it did. And I think it would have, but well, the fact of the matter is that I'm tired, and I have an obligation tomorrow, which means that I can't. Chance sleep. Well into the day, and get going thereafter. I think I'll be able to do that next Saturday, but maybe not. That'll be the last one before Burning Man. So I'd like it if I'm hoping that it's not so crazy. Anyway, I have my cutoff date. I mean, Friday morning, 25th, 2 weeks from now. Come what may. The Midas station, Midas store on Commercial Street, is this? I don't really know. It says 9:15, by the way. Anyway, Friday morning, September 25th. August 25th, excuse me. I get on a plane. First of two planes that will arrive me in Reno on the other end. So, essentially, 14 days left. Another 14 days left. Because by this time, 2 weeks from now, I will probably be in the desert. I'll have hooked up with that guy Jim, whose name I forgot, who lives in Alabama. And we'll have met at the Reno airport and gone and bought some stuff and, then driven to the Black Rock Desert. I mean, we'll be there. It'll be It's 9:15 now, it'll be 6:15. I mean, it would be 6, it's 6:15 there now, in the desert. But damn. You know, it's really funny that I'll be arriving 2 days sooner than I did last year with Mio. And with Mio, we arrived the night before the thing officially began. This time, I'm going to be arriving a whole weekend, 3 days before it officially begins. Wow. Which is cool, I guess. I mean, I'm going to be there a long time. 10 days. 10 freaking days. In the desert. And I'm wagering that to purse several of them will be devoted to construction work. But I mean, I don't know, in a way, I'll be arriving at the beginning, or very, very near the beginning, and I'll be contributing to the atmosphere of Totem 2000 from the get-go. Last year when Neil and I arrived, first of all, it was at night, which was a bad idea, but whatever. I mean, we did our best. And the other thing was that there's already lots of people there. And I don't know, we just sort of lost in the mix, but this time, and I'm not arriving with her, I'm arriving with this guy Jim, who's a newbie, and I'm not. So, I mean, there's lots of aspects to this that are positive, and I'm trying to take a positive approach to things. And, you know, I may call a fucking cab that morning to take me right to the fucking airport, even if it costs me $30, because I'm thinking that I'm going to have so much crap. I mean, it essentially breaks down into tent slash living stuff, bookstore stuff, writing stuff. If I can get it into four packages, that would be good. I mean, I'm devoting every fucking day to it, by the way, on Canal Street. Windy tonight. Feels like rain, though it may not. I'm devoting a lot of time to this. I mean, I'm at it every day, pretty much, and like last year.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
Walking along Canal Street. The difference between this year and last year, well, there are so many differences. Last year I wasn't working. Last year I had this, at least temporary, symbiotic relationship with Mio. I mean, our lives were so completely intertwined and aimed toward Burning Man. There really wasn't anything else going on. And this year I'm doing it alone, and she's doing it alone too, though. I can't figure out what she's doing alone, except she's going to be taking the plane and then driving a rental car alone in terms of preparing for Burning Man. She and her mother are sewing curtains, which is fine. I mean, I shouldn't hold that against her. I really shouldn't. I guess that, you know, that's her thing. But it tells me something that she only did what she did last year because of me. I don't know, it's hard to put into words. And I don't want to sound mean toward her. Because frankly, it was because of her that I was able to get through most of the summer not working. And so, how can I fault a person as generous as that? I can't. So I guess there's no real problem at this point. This week, the number of new titles dropped from 10 to 9. The number of Burning Man books dropped from 7 to 6. The coloring book idea, I bailed on. Whatever. Not enough time, in truth, to make something work that, of the ideas last year, was the least mine anyway. It's funny that, of all the ideas that Mio and I had originally on our list last year, four of mine survived, one of hers survived. And hers, the one she had the most hand in and all, was the coloring book, and that's the one that didn't survive this year. So, I mean, I guess that says something pretty obvious about things. I wanted to have a humor book this year, but it just didn't work out. I guess you can only make so much in a given amount of time. And I've been going at this solidly for weeks now. It shows in my writing production to a certain degree anyway. I've been extremely productive, and there's no doubting that. So let me talk about Laura Bird for a moment. She was in Land's End this morning. She asked, if about people's plans for the weekends, and then she proceeded to tell about a restaurant with some kind of medieval theme, including dinner and a jousting tournament and wenches. And the wench thing sounded like serious prostitution, and she did it all just so, I don't know, I couldn't possibly believe she was telling the truth, and yet she gave no indication that she was kidding. And then she left, and my friend Joey there, who's the nicest person, really sharp, she figured that Laura was kidding, but even she wasn't in the end sure. She told Laura if Laura had an extra Albany fish ticket that she should offer it to me, which was really nice of her since Joey hasn't met me in person. But we talk a lot every day, and I guess she figures I'm okay. Laura fascinates me. She just completely fascinates me. She fascinates me the way Rebecca fascinated me. And I haven't been fascinated by someone at Land's End since that whole disaster with Rebecca and Lauren, and I don't know, just the whole Chicago thing. It just all fell apart. But Laura, I'm now in Bell Rock Cemetery. Laura fascinates me. She's pretty fucking smart. And Lord above, she might be moving to Boston, but I don't take that seriously. I don't know if I take any of it seriously anymore. But I do while I'm at work. It's the most interesting thing that happens, otherwise my job would be completely fucking boring. I'd be listening to a lot of books on tape. Which, because of the internet thing, I don't do. Especially because of Land's End, which I've now been going into for over a year. That's funny. I can't get a handle on Laura's personality. She's somewhat elusive to me. After today, she's even more elusive to me, but I think that she's incredibly fucking smart. I think she's fucking incredibly deep. And yes, I have a fucking crush on her. But I don't think that those emotional feelings are obscuring or making me think that she's smart when she isn't, because she is smart. she sent me an email saying that she might come to Great Woods to fish and meet me there, which would be about a month from now. I'm not counting on it. I don't even know how I'm getting down, frankly. Monday night. Anyway, spirits. Tomorrow night I'll be Jim, Jerry, and Mark, and maybe Jim, but definitely me, will be spun at Great Woods on the lawn, seeing Neil Young. I'm really looking forward to it. Tonight I work on, no doubt about that. Tomorrow I work on too until I hook up with those guys at the Riverside T station. So even if I wanted to, I can't break any staying awake records tonight. Night spirits. I don't think Laura has a boyfriend. I think she thinks I'm interesting. But there's a part of me that's not going to roll over and capitulate. I feel like writing to her tonight, but I don't know, in a way I feel like not writing to her. I feel like just letting the thing sit. I often just nudge too hard and too often. I won't do that. She shows up every day at Land's End, which she didn't used to do. And she reveals herself more with each time she shows up. I think it's good to let it unfold. The whole thing she talks about today annoyed me, even though I think it was supposed to be playful. It annoyed me. I'm going to let it annoy me. Well, not annoy me, but just I'm just gonna back off for a couple of days. see what happens. A good idea.
Okay, for now.
Saturday, August 12th, 2000. It's about 1:45 p.m. I'm partway from my apartment to the Bell Rock Cemetery. What is the name of this fucking road? I don't know. Oh well. Beginning of the long ass trip. Newton Riverside T station. I wanted to leave at noon, but well, it didn't happen. I didn't even get up until like 1:45. Green Street, that's what I want. I was up really late and I needed to sleep. And I needed to do both those things a lot. And the fact that this plan got altered means instead of me being picked up in Malden, I have to fucking travel half to fucking Newton. So fuck it. I'll be there. No resentment. It's just like, I don't want to fucking sleep. I don't want to stay up. I stayed until like 3:15. And I slept till, I don't know, near noon. So, at last I put in an 8-hour day of sleep. And I'm probably not going to get an 8-hour sleep. 8-hour sleep tonight. And I'm going to trip for one thing, so. But sometimes you got to hit the reset button. And I did, and I have, and that's it. So, cool. Now in Bell Brook Cemetery, I'm going to see Neil Young spirits. I missed him earlier in the year. Because I fucked up. I'm not gonna fuck up this time, I'm gonna ride my boat. I've been riding my boat. I mean, I missed a fish show, I missed Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. You know, I missed this shit, so. I usually don't miss shows. In fact, I've never missed shows before, so. But it's water under the bridge, and it's time to move on. Or I moved on, I guess. So yesterday I did the proofing on Thoreau, Emerson, and Whitman. The only one that kind of bugged me was the Emerson one. It's a strange essay, The Transcendentalist. I'm not sure I like it. I'm also not sure there's time left to change it, so. My options at this point are drop it, keep it, or find something else. Drop it, keep it, or replace it. Drop it, meaning drop the Emerson title completely. Replace it, meaning keep the Emerson title, but a different content. Keep it, meaning keep it. I don't know, I don't think it shows him at his best. I don't think that it's one of those things that needs a little bit of contextualizing. You need to have a little bit of an idea of what he's talking about in order to understand the things he's responding to. Some of his writing you don't need to know anything. You just need to read and pay attention. So. I'm I'm going to try and get the Hawthorne store right on the train today. That would be good. What would be left would be Ginsberg and the psychedelic book. And I don't think either one of those is going to be too hard to deal with. I don't think, I'm not sure. I mean, if I do drop the Emerson title, I'll be bringing the same number of Burning Man Press books that I brought last year. I'll be doubling the number from 5 to 10. So I wanted to bring it from 5 to 10. But if I bring it from 5 to 10, it'll be cool. And if I'm lucky enough to go next year, I'll bring Emerson in. I'll do some. I haven't read him in a while, so. I don't have time to read. I can't even pay attention. I've been, like, pulling these things out with hardly reading them at all. But the Whitman book is good. It's also kind of relevant. The theme of Burning Man is the body, and one of the Whitman poems is I Sing Body Electric, which is all about celebrating the body, so it's good, it's a good poem, it's relevant. I think I'll be fairly happy with. And the Ginsberg book will be fine too, so. Underground publishing is a peculiar thing.
What the fuck is your problem, Jack?
Yo, the fucking sidewalk. Bastard-ass motherfucker just tried to honk me off the fucking sidewalk. I should have fucking thrown something at him. I'm walking down the sidewalk. There's two cars coming out of the restaurant. The first one passes me by. Walk along the sidewalk after it exits, and this other motherfucker just fucking freaks the fuck out. Some kind of fucking fancy ass car too. Well, I made him wait, so. Fuck it. Eat the fucking rich. When it's that kind of rich. Eat the fucking rich. Especially the fucking Malden rich. Anyway, Underground Publishing. It's about disseminating the force of certain kinds of radical thought far and wide to as many people as cheaply and as varied as possible. I think I almost need to write a letter to Brandon about it, because to a certain degree her sensibilities are not underground, and sometimes that's good, sometimes it's Mulder and Scully, but I need to emphasize to her, she said something to me very kiddingly about getting an ISBN because of having so many books, and I think she gets it, but I think sometimes she doesn't get it. And I don't need to come down hard on her, because in the daytime, all in the daytime, she works for a fairly mainstream place, University of South Carolina Press. I mean, they publish good writers, good classic writers, but it's a corporate environment, I don't doubt. Tell me about sex. I don't know about other things. Definitely your ideas about sex are radical. I don't need to lecture someone like her, because she's too fucking smart, too fucking knowledgeable, and too fucking deep to be fucking lectured by me. But I think I need to make clear to her and myself my intentions. Make them clearer. Because they're really not clear right now at all. Funny thing is that I keep meeting these girls in the fishing to write poetry. And I know there are a lot of people in the fishing to play guitar. So in an interesting way, there's a lot of artists, and the people who don't actually do art because they tour because they're around it a lot have a really deep appreciation for art. And I'm thinking, well, the Burning Man Fest is something that tribute to. pardon. it's kind of, people tend to be, I guess, what you might call peers of myself. And so, that's more my role, but I think in fishing I can play to a small degree more of a mentor role. That more and more. I've thought about the mentor role for a long time. I mean, I played it all along. I guess I'm trying to figure out how to up it, play it more, play it better. Alright, that's it for now. Right at the station, right at the door, more later. Tuesday, August 15th, 2000. It's about 7:45 p.m. Walking along Canal Street, almost to the corner of Canal and Medford Streets, going home from work. Including today, I have 10 days in which to create a bookstore out of ideas, paper, whatever. The idea was conceived last year. Some of the books were conceived last year, some weren't. Crossing the street. Tantra Barak Cemetery. Right now. It's going to be less fancy, but more ambitious than last year, if that makes any sense. Last year there were all sorts of things attended to the bookstore. Sort of good ideas, me when I came up with toys and all sorts of crap. I frankly took her up in her car and didn't really come into play, in my opinion. And in reality, I think. This year, I want to keep it as simple as possible. Which, of course, isn't as simple as it could be. Simple as possible for me is not very simple. But it's at least pointed in that direction, and so that's what I'm thinking about. Hopefully when I get home, all the package from Barbara containing North of Jersey, dummy copies, I'm not going to deal with it until the weekend. Tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night. Spirits. In 10 days. 10 days from today, on the 25th, I'll be looking up from the desert, thousands of miles from here. Oh man, it's incredible. How close it is after a whole year of waiting. He's so close. Yeah. So anyway,
want it to be simpler than it was last year. Some ways more ambitious than others. There's this girl I've been talking with on my email that's going to bring, and her name is Renee. I don't know anything about her. Except she's smart and she's funny. And she lives in California. And I can use a friend. As many as possible. Unfortunately, I can't take all my female friends and build them into Uber Girl. Nice thought. But being in touch with them is it's something that needs to happen, has and will continue to happen. So anyway, I'm just about home, and the work has to commence, and they have to make progress, and they have to somehow sleep at the end of the night. So, honestly, sleeping just doesn't seem important anymore, even though it is. At work today, caught another error. 2 days in a row. Just proves I'm paying attention. Proves I'm saving the money. That's what it proves. Somehow I need to do that because inevitably there'll be fuck-ups. Inevitably there'll be some I miss. Because I'm not that good. Or rather, I'm not that attentive. I'm more interested in getting the fucking thing done by a certain time. More or less. And in getting every last bit examined. Alright, well, I've got to pull it out. So, more later. Soon. Balls to the wall. Balls to the wall. Keep the legs moving. Sunday, August 20th, 2000. It's about 3:25 p.m. Walking into Bell Rock Cemetery. All the mess. Ago, I was on the phone with Barbara. Before then, I was here with Joe, and we have finished, finally, the fixes, corrections, emendations, proofings, and editings of North of Jersey. Barbara has the last group of them there. She knows them. She's going to fix them. Gonna send the book priority to my work. It's gonna be ready to fucking copy. As many titles as I can, as many copies as I can. And something cool just happened because I just happened to ask her about it. I couldn't figure out a way to get JPEG images off the internet that I might use for covers, lots of books. If I could fuck around with them in Cork. And she gave me the instructions on that. In Photoshop, I could really fuck around with them, but that's okay. I think I have some kind of fake Photoshop that I haven't begun to play with, which I'm probably not going to begin to play with now. But if I can get 6 good images for the 6 books, that would rock. Absolutely. It's getting so close. It's getting so fucking close. I'm walking in Canal Street now. It's getting so fucking close. It's ridiculous. I mean, I've gotten this far. Instead of 50, I'll bring 20 instead of 50. I mean, fine, you know, fine. When the books run out, they run out. I don't want to bring any back. Maybe I'll make 50 of each, but only bring half that amount. That'd be kind of cool. Whoever tells me you're allowed 4 bags, 2 carry-ons, and 2 to be checked, and there's a weight amount. So, I don't know. I think 25 is looking much better. And 50. God, it's so close. Oh, man. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how close it is. And so, anyway. Strange. So now I'm going to do my radio show. Observations of the 60s are on remain. I thought they were gone because of the heavy rain lately, but no, they survived several years now. I think they're there for good. Anyway, going to do a radio show. I decided that in the interest of not worrying what's going on back here, basically I don't have time to make up another radio show. I could, but that's the only point. Anyway, the thing about mailing, that's really the problem. So I think that what I've got to do is I've got to just bite the bullet and not mail them this year. I think I would be more involved in the event and less involved in the time. I'm gonna give my show to the guy that comes before me if he wants it. Okay, get the keys to the station, which is good. And this will be the fifth week in a row I've done my show, so that's good. Twice in July, none in June. This is my 10th show. I think this may be my 10th show on Austin Bright Free Radio. That'd be kind of fucking cool, actually. So tonight I make the covers. And I try to make the covers. I'm definitely thinking cutting down on the rest of the books. I mean, done tomorrow, all six of them made. And that's possible. That'd be good. That'd be fucking sweet. Straight right now.
36 X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
36 X Commander Q. Straight.
And spirit and all radio, all broadcast, one against the world.
36 X with Commander Q.
Commander Q.
Judy Weinstein, and I'm reading to you today from Kibbutz Nir Oz in the western Negev of Israel. Cartography 101. When I turned a lined page in my notebook, I realized that this blank paper is for you, for me to call attention to your maps and models and musings so vital to me, that without them, without you, this spinning sphere would slow, falter, stop completely, and I would fall off it to become part of a bits and pieces universe.
Ace Bogus from Charleston, West Virginia. Phases of the moon. There is no man or woman in the moon. But we become the moon and end up appraising ourselves, all reflections of ourselves in lakes and ponds and on the surface of well water. We walk on the grass on a June morning, say in Vermont or Maine or North Carolina, and the drops of the previous night's rain lay large as an owl's eyes. On the green blades, we see ourselves, and what we see there, or anywhere for that matter, once more than anything, to be whole, fully understood, fully desired.
This is Abandoned View out of Western Pennsylvania reading Street Scene. They told us to open the doors, to slide back the iron gates. They said, look out. See the sleepy children playing with their hungry toys. See the old men and women walking the sidewalks with tremendous slowness. Their ancient eye sockets have seen too much. They told us to open the sliding gates and go down the frozen steps. They wanted us to see the monsters of loneliness, the unconscious souls. They wanted us to know the great silence of that city. We stood on the steps and watched the street. The demons which had lived only in our dreams were all there, and we knew real fear. We huddled at the top of the stairs. The demons motioned us to come. Come on, they said. You wooed and won their master. From your desires to his power. He is one of you.
Hey, Jimmy Heffernan here. Splashed against the stair rail. Forget everything you think you know about the homeless folks in this city, of celestial beings and divine messengers. Let's see if I can recreate for you the image of that strange old man at the Red Line station on Wilshire and Western. Slouched against the stair rail and wearing black pants and a purple sport coat. Close your eyes and you will see him there. Purple coat, shabby black pants, grimy mismatched socks, holy sneakers. Got a cigarette? Yes. I offer from a pack of ovals. He smiles at one toothy smile, then look. He takes a cigarette holder from his pocket and inserts my offering. Waits for my lighter. Now, think on this. A homeless dude holding that ciggy aloft in a somewhat elegant holder and waving me off. He said, Merci pour la cigarette. Je vous remercie de votre beauté et de votre générosité. C'était mon anniversaire hier et tous les oiseaux semblaient le savoir. Imagine saying goodbye in French and him homeless. Imagine.
Hi, this is Raymond Soulard Jr. in Milk Rose, Massachusetts. Cartography 101. When I turned the line page in my notebook, I realized that this blank paper is for you. For me to call attention to your maps and models and musing so vital to me. That without them, without you, this spinning sphere would slow, falter, stop completely, and I would fall off it to become part of a bits and pieces universe.
Sam Nutt, getting ready. Watch for the tint of rain-weathered skies, blue-grey clouds. Doubtless, they'll watch for you. Make yourself ready for the rush, when both will meet and hand your observation to you in wanton sheets of wet. Dig your toes into the damp earth, wait to be kissed by grey weather, wind that whistles, whips your hair, forbids you to rest or sing or count your coins. Tired. Same questions. Their answers worn and dragged underfoot. Rain voice says, straighten up. And you will. You do as it says. You know that rain, with its discomforts and untimely absurdities and such, is all that's left that will not lie.
Hello, this is Joe Magic, Joe Money, Joe Monet. Gibbous Moon. It is so dark, clouds must be covering up the stars. Yes, I'm certain that's the reason for it. There is only a slash, a ladle of light, from the waxing gibbous moon. It is the time of pornography, regret, terror, and other secrets. Although sexual fantasies can present themselves at any time, and dark seems to equal covert. But it's the dark that seems to promise the most faithful intimacies. As a youngster, I loved secrets, the eternal ritual of secrets, bending close to hear them, the familiarity, the confidence given. That no one would ever know what I just heard, the confidence from the whisperer, that I would never tell anyone, or maybe that I would tell, if that was the goal. Now I am older and don't like the unrevealed as much as I once did. The unwanted pregnancy, the torrid love affair. I can no longer keep track of secrets. I no longer see their importance, their urgency for me or the whisperer. The places in my soul where I kept secrets are taken up with anxiety in regards to my own mortality. The dark is that place where I search every corner for my wrongdoings. Where, often on my knees, I beg forgiveness from you who read this, from the moon, from Jesus, from my dead parents, from every waxing and waning moon. Ignoce me, I pray, fiat mihi in aeternum vive. Forgive me, let me live forever.
36 ex vis commander Q.
36
ex vis
commander Q.
36 ex
commander Q.
Commander Q.
This is Cassie Soulard, Meaning of Magic. I ought to learn more about omens' importance. There are those who live by them, in the center of them, every decision designed in the light of dire actions. There is so much to memorize if I desire immortality. Never toast anyone with water unless you want them to die. Never stick your chopsticks straight up, which looks like incense sticks at a funeral. Never whistle indoors, which summons death and demonic spirits. Never put your shoes on a table. It symbolizes the death of a loved one. Never cut your nails at night. It causes premature death, as does seeing a crow, sleeping in a room with a fan running, walking under a ladder, or inviting an owl into your home. Well, an owl being there with or without an invitation. We demand life, see it as our right, and, still, some wrap their existence in the sorcery of signs and superstitions. In the mysteries of flesh, the magic that is the body, we entertain a terrible, insatiable hunger to control and direct every envelopment, every emanation. In the end, we claim to love and respect divine superintendence, that very omnipresence which makes magic meaningless, gift wraps us, presents us to the unknown.
Hello, this is Nathan Horowitz.
Coded sounds. In the same way we put an ear to the wall, or a door, or the window, to hear a conversation not really meant for us, we listen to the rivulets of water sliding over rocks, or hailstones hitting sidewalks and trash can lids. We listen for the secrets they are telling the earth. While they are surely not meant for us, the sounds are so proliferate, we can listen without guilt. The roads are drenched in dreams and ciphers. Birdsong gives way to mystery, song, and mud song. I tell the sky, be careful what you say. Somebody is always listening.
Hello, everybody. This is Tamara Miles from Elgin, South Carolina. Postscript. The eyes of our souls are always looking down, watching for what might bring us to harm. The magic of being like ice sculptures until touched never leaves us once it is discovered. We have been traded for money, for food, for rowboats, for sweets, and for belief in Christ himself. Indecently strong, still easily bought by praise, our lips search our steps, find flowers and fire and magic. We are, after all, the magician's lovely assistants, aren't we? With one hypnotic gesture from their wands, they create you and that which you think you own.
Gregory Kelly in England. Cartography 101. When I turned the lined page in my notebook, I realized that this blank paper is for you. For me to call attention to your maps and models and musings so vital to me that, without them, without you, this spinning sphere would slow, falter, stop completely. And I would fall off it to become part of a bits and pieces universe.
Phases of the moon. There is no man or woman in the moon, but we become the moon, and end up appraising ourselves, all reflections of ourselves in lakes and ponds, and on the surface of well water. When we walk in the grass on a June morning, say in Vermont, or Maine, or North Carolina, and the drops of the previous night's rain lay large as an owl's eyes on the green blades, we see ourselves in what we see there, or anywhere for that matter, wants more than anything to be whole, fully understood, fully desired.
Everything. I found a letter I had begun to write to you, dear girl, and never finished. It was written before there was email, and endless writing spaces I wrote to you while in a staff meeting at the college where I worked. In it, I said everything. Told you about a man's wrinkled collar right in front of me, another man's worn coat cuff, a woman two rows down holding up a stiff back and attentive posture, how I knew her and that she was bleeding inside from a carved up heart. I told you about my tight shoes and my failed diet, and about fear pulling the blankets off the night before, leaving me too open and too cold. I wrote about our dry yard, my children's school, my wish to run away. I said I missed you, wished I could come there and live near you. All this was written on wheat-colored paper, folded into a small square and hidden in the toe of a wheat-colored sock. I never mailed it, and I don't know why. Now I want you to have this letter to remember that once
We wrote everything to each other. We wrote until all our writing paper was gone, and we wrote on napkins, receipts, and cigarette papers, and on purloined memo pads, and on the back of the odd photograph. We wrote until we had to use blood or spit for ink. Yes, here at last is your letter. It is arriving late, very late in our lives, and it is still everything.
The title disruption event named Assassin-14-LI. Assassin-14-LI was a title disruption. A star wandering too close to a 3 million solar mass black hole was torn apart. The debris gathered into an accretion disk around the black hole. Data from NASA's SWIFT satellite showed that the initial formation of the disk was shaped by interactions among incoming and outgoing streams of tidal debris. Some excursive, no-name star believed that space was unlimited. It must have been terribly young, achingly lovely, somewhat irresponsible, as young things so often are, or maybe choked up on atomic and molecular gas. I'm certain that Ms. Mr. No-Name Star saw the future and journeyed on, despite what the future held, headed straight for that black, impoverished pool of whatever it is a pool of, and was devoured, torn apart as if by cosmic wolves. I can't help but be reminded of Coleridge, who saw the future of the world and bent words toward that future. He once took a ship to Malta and back, and on shore watched silently as crows took over the branches of a tree, daring him to do something about it. Word has it that he went quite willingly to his death from some no-name lung ailment which came about because he so loved opium. The tragically destroyed star would have presumed all of this. Stars understand everything.
Initial. A well-known someone once wrote a poem for me. To my delight, it showed up in a literary journal of some repute, and then in an actual book. My initials were there, right under the title and following the word for. I was delighted that this fine poet had discovered words meant especially for me. And I hadn't even slept with him or chatted him up flirtatiously. My friends, I ask you to imagine it, a poem for me, who ground away at her own poems, hustling the hell out of every line, always afraid that my lack of credentials would become oh so apparent in my ignorance of literary intricacies. I must tell you, that poem didn't care one bit about my lack of formal education. It mentioned beauty and had an understanding inside it that claimed the right to know what beauty is and what it is worth. It doesn't matter that you aren't beautiful, my father said. It matters whether or not you're smart. He, too, had discovered words just for me. This all happened years ago. The poem with my initials happened 35 years ago. When I remember or dream, I forget which. It is those initials I see. Those initials are what I believe.
Seeing. I read a story in a book about trees and leaves and moss and such, which told of small lives below Earth's surface. Just around root and ring were these lives, each holding on to the magic of quiet and concealment. And the story said, if you sat under the trees, cleared a small circle of leaves, and sat inside it, your back braced against the tree trunk, you would feel the small lives pulsating. Feel the blinks of tiny, seeing eyes boring through their ceiling, which, as I have told you, is the Earth's crust. And if you are lucky enough to have with you a child or a lover, and if you pull the silence up under your chin like a quilt, you can sleep and dream the dreams of kings and queens and claim the gifts of gods.
Romance novel. During the last rapture, I was reading a romance novel. When the storm's eye ignited the calm with wind and with salt, with the scent of herbs and earth, I heard it all. On the page, it was 14th century Scotland. Adaria was kidnapped by Herne as revenge for losses in battle, while Anthea and Rhiannon's baby was born in their kitchen, born with a caul, which the midwife removed and buried under a tree near their icy creek. I had only to turn another page when there were sheets of hail on the roof. Lights failed for a minute or two while I waited for the voice of God to call me up and hold me accountable. I felt sure I would be chosen, that you, dearest, would be too. I waited, shifted in the chair, began another chapter when the lights came back on. It had been a short rapture this time, and once again I was not taken. With the surge of years, I've seen the world undone more times than there are numbers. Everyone asks everyone, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" And the answer is always, "Fine, thank you. Just fine." No one asks if all things beautiful now plead for violence. Are we easily appeased by victims and agonies? At night, the stars steam and roil. The sky is threatened by cataracts of fire, clouds of venom. A new rapture, a new novel. On the page, a ship sinks in a storm in 1845, Australia. Oliver, Ruby, and Ava are the only survivors. They are beautiful, while the island on which they are stranded is not. Oh yes, and there is a mystery presence, something looming. The news this morning is that we are winning the fight against terrorism. The security situation in Afghanistan is getting worse. We bomb Libya to free its citizens. All raptures are the final raptures. And again, dearest, we are not taken.
The glyphs in the canyons. I've forgotten those times between wakefulness and dozing and sleep. I know something happened, but I can't recall what it was. It's like trying to recall where I was just before I was born. My friend tells me that this is the reason I should never fear death. She says, "You don't know where you were before you were born, so why fret about where you'll be after you die?" This is wisdom I can acknowledge, but from which I glean no comfort, and it is comfort I want more than nearly anything. I want the great eyes of God to turn my tears to opals, and the great tongue of God to tell me that life and death are the same, that I will keep loving and making love, and walking and humming, and wanting and holding, and will never lose my appetite for joy or for potato chips and onion dip and ice cream. Between wakefulness and dozing and sleeping, what is there to know? Who do I serve, awake, asleep? Who do I honour when I doze? And why is wakefulness the stain on all this embalmed paradise?
Cartography 101. When I turned the lined page in my notebook, I realized that this blank paper is for you. For me to call attention to your maps and models and musings so vital to me. That without them, without you, this spinning sphere would slow, falter, stop completely. And I would fall off it to become part of a bits and pieces universe.
Phases of the moon. There is no man or woman in the moon, but we become the moon and end up appraising ourselves, all reflections of ourselves, in lakes and ponds and on the surface of well water. When we walk on the grass on a June morning, say in Vermont or Maine or North Carolina, and the drops of the previous night's rain lay large as an owl's eyes on the green blades, we see ourselves and what we see there, or anywhere for that matter, once more than anything to be whole, fully understood, fully desired.
That hour. The hour between dog and wolf is ripe with trepidation. Some say it's from the light's unwillingness to give up, give in. Others say there is an odor to twilight, something sickly sweet, vegetable and animal together in a dank potpourri. It's the hour of the unfinished phrase, the hair undone, the photo not taken, the canvas empty, clean paintbrushes at the easels. If clouds are going to mass, they will do so at dusk. If the wind picks up, it does so at owl's light. All things bend, twirl, slow, and stop at cocklight to wait for dark and its regime of rest.
Secrets. What the stiff breeze and the ocean have to say remains a mystery. Who are we to try to understand the splinters of a broken boat that strays onto the beach? Or suppose the sleeve from a small jacket ends up on some jutting rocks. What are we to glean from that? Then there are the grasses that nearly reach the waterline but never quite get there. The necklace chain, the watch face, the scrap of lingerie in those grasses must be some kind of prophecy or an omen. But what kind? A few nights ago, I dreamed of Polly's Island. The water was so warm there in the Atlantic Sea that it unsettled me, and I wondered if I was actually asleep. Then a house nearby caught on fire, and the ocean, understanding the urgency, rose up, put the fire out. The silence was profound, and the only sound to be heard in the dreamscape was a far-off bell on a buoy, tinging out the riddles only the seaweed understands.
Seeing. I read a story in a book about trees and leaves and moss and such, which told of small lives below Earth's surface. Just around root and ring were these lives, each holding on to the magic of quiet and concealment. And the story said, if you sat under the trees, cleared a small circle of leaves and sat inside it, your back braced against the tree trunk, you would feel the small lives pulsating. Feel the blinks of tiny seeing eyes boring through their ceiling, which, as I have told you, is the Earth's crust. And if you are lucky enough to have with you a child or a lover, and if you pull the silence up under your chin like a quilt, you can sleep and dream the dreams of kings and queens and claim the gifts of gods.
Sadie and the sea. Sadie tells me she has had sex with the ocean. She says that it began with a wave which came up behind her, and a door in that wave swung open. At first, she says, she was afraid, but went anyway, deep into the doorway, into a room of blue-green wet and salt and whispers from a bed of sand. She was stroked and lightly sanded, and the water enveloped and entered her with a tenderness reserved for its frailest creatures. She was, after that, she tells me, a nympho on the half shell, shameless in the face of foam and tides. Sex with the ocean, said Sadie, is similar to sex with angels, which I have had on numerous occasions. Although, to be perfectly honest, angels are heavier than the ocean, more cumbersome, more
insistent, more intrusive, not as slick, not as salty. In the past, I've found Sadie's stories difficult to hear. She tortures her days with truth, the straight stuff, and I prefer my reality peppered with at least a few fictional embellishments. That being said, my late night dreams explode with this particular tale's implications. What to say except, good night, Sadie. Good night.
Residue. I'd like to leave a residue of sensuality, fluency. I'd like to leave expressions like dance moves to flood the faces of those I've loved. For you, I'd like to leave a perfect gesture and the physical memory of a kiss that was like no other, and a touch that encourages the mind to turn toward dreams of Everest. For you, I want magenta memories that give porn films their comeuppance and flavors your visions of us and we. I want the conscripted memories to fall away as if they had the torque of 1,000 rockets. I want you to continue to say the mumblings of your heart. Stay where you are. Let the trees give back breath to the sky. Let the trunks believe they are tent poles keeping the stars above us where they belong.
Welcome, Matt. If you want to live, there is still room for you here. We ask only a few things of you, though they are huge things. First, it is necessary to begin each of your days with a consideration of the sun's radiance. If there is no sun, a 40-watt light bulb will do. Next, we ask that you sort out your resources, alphabetize them, and lay them in rows on top of your dresser. Next, you must fix what is broken. Erase all graffiti from walls, unless it is sexual in nature, and plunge the toilets in your building with great vigor. Last, certainly not least, you must consider 2 lost loves each day. You must learn the language of aspen trees and allow all you own to experience a miracle. The last thing I'll say to you is not one of the commandments. It is a suggestion. If you want to find wholeness or peace, you may not have both. In this life, you must walk into the world, look for an idol in a cow pasture, and worship it.
Phases of the moon. There is no man or woman in the moon, but we become the moon and end up appraising ourselves, all reflections of ourselves, in lakes and ponds and on the surface of well water. When we walk on the grass on a June morning, say in Vermont or Maine or North Carolina, and the drops of the previous night's rain lay large as an owl's eyes on the green blades, we see ourselves, and what we see there, or anywhere for that matter, wants more than anything to be whole, fully understood, fully desired.
Seeing. I read a story in a book about trees and leaves and moss and such, which told of small lives below Earth's surface. Just around root and ring were these lives, each holding on to the magic of quiet and concealment. And the story said, if you sat under the trees, cleared a small circle of leaves and sat inside it, your back braced against a tree trunk, you would feel the small lives pulsating, feel the blinks of tiny seeing eyes boring through their ceiling, which, as I've told you, is the Earth's crust. And if you are lucky enough to have with you a child or a lover, and if you pull the silence up under your chin like a quilt, you can sleep and dream the dreams of kings and queens and claim the gifts of gods.